Do you have any true crime seeing their stories?
Oh, yeah, there are a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last one I was telling you was when the one brother killed his little brother, and the little brother was like 14 and he himself was 16 and wanted to kill his father too.
Hi, and welcome to Taboo with Mimi, the podcast that talks about anything and everything, really, that is taboo in this world. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. No. But seriously, I go around the world because I'm a digital nomad and I interview people from different cultures and ask them about their taboos. Why? Because it's time to talk about them. Some things will hopefully make you think. Others will maybe gross you out. But most things will be something you can relate to. So there you have it. Welcome to Taboo with Mimi.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Taboo with Mimi. I am here with a special guest.
Hello.
She's going to tell us all about her very interesting story. Who are you?
Thank you, Mimi. Hello. Who am I? Yeah, I'm Christina. I'm 30 years old. I'm from Germany. I'm a photographer. I'm right now in Bali and leaving next Tuesday. So, yeah. But, yeah, that's me.
That's pretty much you. But I think we're going to delve into your story because I think you have some very interesting stories. How was growing up in Germany? I know you have a different background.
Yeah.
How was that?
Yeah. Growing up in, I would say in Germany is like a normal thing for me. But what's maybe more special is because my parents are undertakers. So we have a funeral home. That was like growing up, I would say differently from other. When I got off from school, I just went to my parents' funeral home, like in our company, because it was in the same street. So
yeah.
I wasn't going home. I was like going into the company, made my homeworks with the decedent people with one level lower.
That is so interesting and curious because in my head, undertakers, like funeral undertakers, I always feel like, oh, that's such a weird job. But do you know how your parents got into it?
Yes. Yeah, so my grandparents already had this funeral home and
in Germany.
Yes. Because my father is German and he got it from his parents. And then my parents were there together.
And do you know where your grandparents got it from?
No. No, but that's what I want to ask when I'm back home, because that's a really interesting question. Yeah. I never asked that myself before.
Because you said it's a business that got passed on from parents to their children.
Yeah.
Why? It sounds like almost like a notary also, because it's like such a prestigious job that not a lot of people want to do. Do you think it's because of that? If you didn't have your parents doing it,
yeah,
would you think it's difficult to open a undertaking or a funeral home business?
No, I don't think so. Because where I'm coming from or in my hometown or in Germany, I think you can just open an undertaker's home. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to have
special licenses.
No, or not at all. So you just can do it.
Yeah. Are you an only child?
Yes.
Are you going to keep your family business?
So I always struggle with it because like I was feeling like my parents put so much effort in it and so much work and time. It would be sad just to sell it to someone. So I always said, before you're selling it to someone, I would do it. But I just recognized that I just have this only life and I don't want to spend my whole life in this company. Like, I don't want to have that, like, this 24/7 job, like working from Monday to Sunday, sometimes at nights, and it's hard to take holidays. And I don't want to have that. I don't know what's happening in 5 years, maybe, but for now, I said to my parents, I will not do it.
Yeah, but because let's explain it fully. Your parents have the funeral home business. So when someone dies, they call your family business.
Yeah.
And you go pick up the dead person.
Exactly.
Clean up whatever it is.
No. The people are dying in the clinic or like in a home where the older people are or at home. Most of the cases, it's just something normal. We just get them, bring them to a cemetery or to our company, wherever.
Like when someone dies naturally at home, for example.
Yeah.
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 Or in the hospital, for example.
Yeah. If they're dying at home, first the doctor's coming just to be sure, the person is dead. In the hospital, of course, there are doctors. So,
right.
And then we are coming after, and then we're getting down and bringing them to the cemetery. Like, for example, if they smell bad or whatever. But mostly we bring them to our funeral home because it's cheaper for the family. Because if we bring them to the cemetery, they have to pay way more. And we don't want to load them like a lot of money because they're already in a special situation. And it's not like we want to have the money from them. So it's more like to help the people in that situation.
Yes. You bring them to your funeral home.
Yeah.
And then how long does it usually take before they can do the funeral? A few days?
I would say 1 to 2 weeks. Because like we have to make the papers. It depends also if they are getting like buried or like in the coffin. If they're not like buried in the urn, then it's way faster because like they're like, oh, what's the English word? If you're dead and the process is going on with your body, so it has to be, you have to get buried faster.
It's decomposing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And if you're in an urn, it can
last forever.
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, it can, yeah.
So how was growing up with this kind of dynamics? Because you said your parents work 24/7. So if they were to call, which sometimes it happens, people die in the middle of the night.
Yes.
They would call in the middle of the night.
Yeah. I was so sorry for my father when he just got into the bed and then the phone is ringing and then you have to get up again and go to work. And then he basically came back after 2 or 3 hours. You just get used to it. But if you're getting older, you see which effort it takes from you.
Yeah.
It was like standing sometimes at the second position because when the phone rings, it's still today, it's, oh, the company's calling. I gotta hang up. You know what I mean? So it's always, you have to step back.
Like you have to let work first.
Yeah.
First, kind of. So you can be on the phone because like stuff like that. That's what you meant.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Got it. Interesting.
Or we had to leave the holidays earlier. We had to get home because something in the company happened or whatever. So it was like company first thing.
Got it. So like everything will come first and then you.
Yeah. Mostly. Yeah.
Were your parents ever able to like really take time off?
You have
employees, right? How many people work for your company?
I think with my parents, it's around 8 people.
Wow.
Like 6 employees. Yeah. It's hard because if you have employees, we can trust them, but they don't have the same effort as an owner of the company. Mm-hmm. Of course, we could take time off, but it wasn't that easy always. Or my father just went from the airport and got back home because he couldn't go with us. And my mom and I went on holiday on our own.
I want to go more into some of the stories that you had. Because that's what I feel like it's super interesting. But what is your relationship with death?
Oh, tough question. Like, those are questions I never thought about.
Because you said that you need to listen to murder stories before going to, like, there's like those, how are they called? Thriller stories, basically.
Or yeah, true crime.
True crime story.
Yeah.
Before going to sleep, because that relaxes you.
Yeah.
Which I think is so interesting because if I listen to one of those true crimes or any crime scenes or anything like that, I can't sleep for days.
Oh, for real?
I can't even watch movies of true crime. No, I cannot.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
But to you, it relaxes you. I'm sure a lot of people also enjoy them.
Double.
But you grew up with, I would say, a lot of death around you, right? Because that was your family business.
100%, yeah.
Do you have a special relationship with death or have you ever thought about it? Or is it like such a normal thing for you because dying is part of life?
Yeah. I would say on the one hand, it's something normal for me because it was like my day, like everyday business. But on the other hand, my father was always saying like, life is so short, life is so short. And I just like, maybe got a little bit anxious about it, like that it can be over and like in the next minute. So that's why I changed my life and quit my job and everything and don't want to run that business.
Yeah.
Because you just have that one life and I think it's, you have to enjoy it. And yeah, death is something normal, but also like scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I always say it's the one business that never gets out of business, kind of.
Yeah.
Because people are always going to die.
True.
You're talking about this. I thought, and I asked you what happened during COVID if you had so much business, and you said that no, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was the opposite.
Yeah, it was like the opposite. It was like, it was definitely not more. Of course, it was like, oh yeah, we have a COVID decedent. But I think that people would have died with or without COVID anyways. And as I told you, because there was no operations in the clinics and nothing much happening, so that's why we had way less decedents than before COVID.
That's so interesting. How many people do you handle? I don't know how to say every month.
40 to 60.
So you bury or put in a coffin around 40 to 60 people.
Yes.
A month.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's because there is competition around you. How many funeral homes are from? What town are you from?
It's, the town is called Heilbronn. It's in Germany. Like, it's
Heilbronn.
Heilbronn. Yeah.
Heilbronn.
It's like healing. Bro.
Yes.
I would say they're 2 to 3 big other funeral homes too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I would say we have the most decedents in a month.
You have the biggest funeral home, basically.
Yeah.
How does the funeral home look like? Is it like a big fridge? That's how I imagine. Is there a cold room?
Yeah. So it's a, just like a normal
house.
Big house.
Okay.
And if you get into the funeral home, we have our offices there. We have offices right in the upper level. And down, like
in the lower floor,
yeah, we have like where the coffins are, where we prepare everything, where we prepare the decedents in the coffins. And then we have 2.
And what do you mean by prepare? Do you clean the dead people or the hospital cleans them?
No, they don't.
I think it might be different country to country.
People or a lot of, yeah, they think about or they think they will get cleaned or in the funeral home say, yeah, we're washing in them and whatever. But I don't think so.
As they smell, because we were talking about smell the other day. And you said something interesting.
Yeah.
That people smell like
sweet.
Sweet, like something, like some sweet scent.
Yeah, some sweet scent and also like disinfectant scent.
Yeah.
So a mix of both. Yeah. Of course, you clean them a little bit and you disinfect and put the clothes on. You put a little bit of makeup on.
Oh, interesting. And the clothes come from the family. So the family brings the clothes and stuff. Okay.
Yeah, they bring them or we have something. It's in Germany, it's called Talar, but I don't know the English word. It's just like a shirt kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like a
gown.
Yeah. More like a blouse.
A blouse. Okay.
Blouse. Mm-hmm. And you cut the clothes in the back because then you can just wrap it
around.
Yeah, wrap it around. Yeah.
Okay. And then you put them in the fridge?
Yeah. So we have 2 big fridges and you can put 6 decedents in one fridge.
6.
6, yeah. A few years ago, maybe I would say 10 to 15, we just had one and then we needed a second one.
Okay.
So sometimes everything is full. And then, but sometimes we just need one fridge. It depends.
Okay. And have you ever opened, whenever you were like a kid, have you ever opened the fridges?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
To see the dead people.
I'm not going to stare at them, but maybe to get someone out or to help, yeah.
You've seen a lot of dead people in your life.
I did.
I only, before my grandpa died,
yeah,
I've never seen any dead person. Mm-hmm. Most of us don't see dead people, unless it's like someone from your family. And I remember when I saw my grandpa dead, which looked like he was sleeping.
Yeah.
It was so shocking. Because oh my God, he's dead.
Yeah.
There's no life in there. And technically there is, as if they're just sleeping. But I'm saying it's not normal to see someone dead. And you've seen so many dead people. Do you think that does something to you? Because you're not, like, if you were to see someone dead in the street or something, would you? Because that would be such a shock for me. Would it be normal for you?
I always imagine how it would be if I would find a dead person somewhere. I just like always imagine when I was on the lake or river or whatever. I imagine if there was a hand or if I was hanging somewhere. Yeah, I always imagine it. But I think if you found someone, it's complete. Of course, I would be shocked too. Mm-hmm. But maybe I would be shocked in a different way than you. But of course, it would be a shock. Like,
yeah. Yeah, you're not immune to
those
kind of things.
The feeling that it was so scary or shocking to see a dead person or your grandpa, I can feel that. It's something normal. It's so normal for me. It's crazy. I can't imagine how it's different.
Yeah. Because for you, it's just normal. Oh, he's dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen that every day. Not every day, but like
almost every day.
Yeah. You mentioned quite some nice stories because in my head, like undertakers and funeral homes only deal with the dead person from the moment he's dead. Like they take the dead person away and then they do the funeral and everything. But whenever there is a crime scene or a murder, that's like in my head, that's like the job of the police or like other people. But what is your role when something like this happens? And what are it? Some fun stories.
Some true crime, some crazy story. I don't know if
it's fun because I don't know if they're fun, but some crazy story that you experienced throughout your 30 years of life. So let's imagine there is a case where there is a murderer, right? Which is different from a person that just dies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do they call the police and call you at the same time?
The police is calling us.
Got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In our hometown, it's like this. The undertaker, who is the cheapest, gets those cases because they're like from the government, like the city or whatever. So we had those cases, but I'm like thankful because we don't have them anymore because sometimes it's disgusting or hard or whatever. It's hard. I would say it's way harder, the work. When they call us, okay, stop your work, go there because you have to be fast. Or if it has to be really fast, they're still calling us because they know we will be the fastest one. If the police is calling us, we're getting them there really quick. Yeah.
And then
taking the seat in. Yeah. And most of the time it's like the police is also there, but they wouldn't help. So they're just standing next to you.
And you just take the dead person.
Yeah.
And you do the whole procedure.
Yeah. And then we're bringing them to the pathology, like where they look.
They dissect them to see like how they died.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're not taking them to us. We're bringing them to the pathology.
Yeah. Because sometimes they have to see like how the person died.
What happened.
Yeah. If there is any sign of violence or anything
like that.
If it was a bullet or something.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whatever, if someone just dies at home from natural death, then you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, on to some story.
Okay, which story? There's a story which came up into my mind, which I was so curious about because it was like a baby. It was really strange. And I'm 100% sure there is something in this story because there was a mother and she had two children and one of it died. She was like preparing the one kid for a school, and on the midday she just checked on her baby in the bed and she like couldn't find it in the bed, and she had to look for it because like the baby was under the pillows and blanket and whatever.
How old was this baby?
I don't know. It was still small, like a baby.
Like a few years, like one or two?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Or maybe smaller.
Okay.
But I think if you get up, the first thing you do is checking after your baby and not just a few hours later. She found it under the blankets and it was like the baby was already dead. And the thing is, the woman never was in our company and the father was really strange too. And a friend of them handled everything. Okay. Let's say, okay, they were in shock and they couldn't handle it, whatever. But then they buried the baby like in, they had the urn, or like the urn was in our company, and they didn't make any effort to bury that child. It was like the small urn was in our safe and it was just staying there.
For how long?
Long. I don't know exactly, but it was weeks or months. And we just said them, okay, you should like make an appointment. We should like
the funeral, they wouldn't do the funeral.
No, they didn't.
As if they didn't believe it was dead, almost.
I don't know. Like, they said one time, Oh, we had so many funerals in the last time, so it has to wait. And I think if you're like, if your baby is dead and you don't make an, we don't make a funeral and just leave your baby at the funeral home, they didn't watch after it.
Do you know what was the diagnosis of death of the kid? Was it considered a natural death, or do you know?
Yeah, so there was no case of, like, if it was not natural. I think they didn't check. I'm not sure.
And
really?
Yeah, that's like, really weird.
Yeah, it is. About this case is weird.
Because like a kid that is 1 year old dies in its bed, basically.
Yeah.
And no one knows how, why.
In Germany, it's just a child's death. It just can happen.
Naturally.
Yeah.
But the doctors check what happened or not, really.
I'm not sure about it. But maybe they check, but there was another case that the kid got murdered or whatever. But the parents didn't want to bury that child.
They don't want to spend that money. Sounds like that.
They don't even have to pay for it at our funeral home because we don't want to get money from it if a child dies because it's so bad. So we don't even want to have money for it.
So they didn't have to pay for it?
No.
Did they know about it?
Of course.
Yeah.
Like, we reminded them more than once to bury that child.
And they didn't want to do it.
No. It took months.
Maybe it is because of shock, though. Like, they didn't
realize. 100% not.
Really?
100% not.
Maybe they just didn't want to... Because when you actually bury something, it's real. It's actually that name.
Yeah. No, there were so much things that were so strange. I told my parents, you should talk to the police and just get some information. But yeah.
No. Okay. And then, what about true crime story? Do you have any true crime seen their stories?
Oh, yeah, there are a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, the last one I was telling you was when the one brother killed his little brother, and the little brother was like 14 and he himself was 16 and wanted to kill his father too.
And why?
I don't know. We don't know. But I would love to, of course.
You didn't know these people.
I know these people, but not really close.
Yeah. How big is your town?
Oh, it's like about 120,000.
Okay, so it's a big town. It's not like a very small town where everybody knows each other.
No, it's not like that.
Yeah, okay.
Like, our employees already got the boy who got killed from his brother. And, of course, my father knew him and he said, we will take care.
Clean it up.
Yeah, we will clean up. And, of course, I was like, oh, yeah, I want to join. Of course, I want to see it because I'm, like, sensation seeker kind of that. But, and then we cleaned the house and it was like,
yeah, explain. So you will get into this house where one murder or two murders?
One murder.
The older brother, which was 16 years old, yeah, killed the younger brother. And the father?
He almost got killed too, but they had a fight in the whole house. And he almost got killed too, but thank God he survived.
He survived.
Yeah.
So you get to this place.
Yeah.
One person has died.
Yes.
Okay. So you get to this place. The police has already come, obviously.
Yeah.
Everything already, like, everything was done. The brother has been taken to the police station.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you see? It's an apartment or it's a house?
It's a big house. Like, a really big house.
Haunted.
So, it was crazy because there was blood. You can't even imagine that there will be blood. You know what I mean? Like, it was, like, in the kitchen and you, between the plates. There were, like, in between the plates, there were blood everywhere. I felt like, how can this be possible? Or like in a typical horror movie when the hand on the walls or the door. And it was
like that.
Yeah.
If this person, like the younger kid tried to escape.
Oh, no, he was in the bed. Like, he got killed in the bed.
So how was the blood everywhere?
Because of the fight from the father and his son. Like, I think they were running
around,
yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Was it killed with a knife?
I think so, yeah. It was a knife. And when I, like, I have those images in my hand, like, where I clean all those things. Not scary, but it's, yeah, that, it's scary.
It's scary.
Yeah.
So you get there and see, like, a house which was, like, full of blood everywhere, and you have to clean that up.
Yeah.
Why you guys have to clean up and not, like, some special...
My father just made that... Yeah, because, like, he wanted to help and said, yeah, we will just take care of it. So they don't have to take care of it and deal with it because the situation was bad. Bad.
How bad?
Raising bad. Imagine your son wanted to try to kill you and killed your other son. Just imagine. It's crazy. And you don't know even why.
Okay, so you're at the house. What do you see? You start cleaning up this blood in between plates on the doors, was like
walls, on the couch, behind the couch, on the windows, like everywhere. You can just imagine, like everywhere.
And then you go to the bedrooms where the guy was killed.
Yeah.
And what do you see?
We put the mattress out of the house because like it was filled with blood. And I put also like the, when I took the pillow, of course I had clothes on, but everything was already dry. It wasn't that fresh anymore, but the pillow was still wet. And you knew, okay, there's a lot of blood in it because it's still
wet. It was dripping. It wasn't dripping.
Not dripping anymore, but it was like full. It was heavy and it was like smelling like iron. Like the real smell. It was like, oh, okay. That was the only time I got a little bit like disgusted. The only time, yeah.
Okay, you have a strong stomach.
Yeah, I mean, like,
breakdown.
Yeah, if I just imagine, it was just cleaning the flat of other people. Like, it's crazy.
Okay, maybe one more story. Do you have maybe one more story?
Oh, yes. It was long time ago, and I was already in bed. I was in my bed. My father was in the kitchen. It was, like, two rooms further, and my door was closed. And I just heard someone screaming on the phone. You have to come here and get them. And my father said, you have to call the police. And because the guy who was calling us, he was homeless and he killed someone else. And he didn't want to call the police and called my father that he will get the person. It was so loud because the guy on the phone was screaming and I heard it in my bed. And so and then there was like, afterwards, there was, of course, the crime scene and the police came and then we took the person. But also my father had to go to the court and to tell how it happens.
Because it was like a whole sentence that it was happening.
Yeah, yeah, because
guy he had to testify or something.
Yeah, like the guy killed the other one and the killer called us. Yeah,
so you had to go and say, this is what happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we got called by a killer too. Or there was another story where a couple, they were sleeping and the guy, I don't know why, but the guy got up and when you, I don't like a bomb, if you blow up everything, he got back into bed and just blow up both.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Where did he get a bomb?
If you want, you can get every.
For sure. Or you can make one.
Or you can make one, yeah.
There's like weird things online where I saw you can, I haven't looked. But I think it's interesting because online you can find literally how do you make a bomb if you want to. So he got up, got a bomb,
yeah.
Went back to sleep.
Yeah.
So at that point, there were pieces everywhere.
Yeah.
But you didn't go.
No, I was a child.
Okay.
Yeah. But it just reminded another story when I was a child. There was another case, like the police called us again and there were like old train, like in the middle of the city, like where old trains were. And there were some children who just went to the trains and there was a dead woman. They saw it and they just went again. And then they came back after a couple of days and the dead person was still there or the dead woman. And then they called the police. But there was, and the children found a dead person and I was just sitting in the car and wait till my father was done with the work.
What do you mean? Like the people saw like a dead person, but no one called the police for days.
Yeah, because like there were children
found this woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They found this woman on the train, like in an abandoned train. Like, yeah.
Was she killed? Do you know?
For sure. Why yeah. should be like in a abandoned right. train?
For sure. Yeah. But kids found this dead woman and no one said anything. How long after people died they start smelling? Do you know?
I would say it's of course, if it's hot, it will start really fast. If it's cold, not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's why you put them in this fridges.
Yeah. Yeah.
To slow the process.
Wow.
But it's like in the summertime, if someone is dead a long time, oh, I think it's a nightmare because like then everything is like the
blood,
like the liquid of your body, like everything is getting out and like the small white,
the fluids.
Yeah. The animals, the small animals are
the worms.
Yeah. Like all those things.
Have you ever seen anything disgusting like that?
Oh, no, I could never.
You could never.
I could never.
You could see the normal dead person, but you couldn't see.
Oh, I would throw up in the first second.
Yeah, if it's a thing.
Yeah. If everything is moving because of the animals, nah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Has it ever happened though, that your family had to go pick up someone that was dead after a very long time?
For sure.
And they already have worms.
Yeah, many times.
Many times?
Yeah. But then we are bringing them to the pathology or to the cemetery. We don't put them in our
fridge.
Yeah.
And how comes, like, sometimes, what are these, like, old people that no one knew they died? Or what is it usually the case?
Yeah. I would say most of them are in some homes where the other old people are. But, of course, sometimes it happens that they die at home and stay there for weeks, and then one day someone recognized it, and then yeah,
because of the smell, maybe.
Yeah, because of the smell.
Okay.
Yeah,
you said I have only one life. I don't want to have that life where I have basically no clear schedule, because you said your dad would wake up in the middle of the night and go pick up that people or whatever.
Yeah,
but you also said that if they were to sell it, you would take over. But what if at that point you have a flourishing business? And because you're an amazing photographer, you do wedding photography, by the way, wedding. Destination wedding photographer over here. You travel all over the world.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to give up your work that you love so much?
No, I don't.
To do that?
No.
So when the day will come, how old are your parents?
Oh, my mother, 53.
In their 50s.
Four, yeah. Oh, yeah. My father is already almost, he's getting 67.
Wow.
Turning 67, yeah, or 68.
That's still, yeah, my parents are older than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom, she's in her 60s. And my dad is in their 70s.
Oh, yeah.
70s, yeah. So when the day will come, because yeah. I guess they're close to retiring.
Yeah. They will never retire, I think.
Really?
No, like they would have to sell it actively.
With someone.
Yeah. Because I don't think they will stop to that business.
Yeah. But you don't think you'll take over right now?
No.
Do you think they'd be disappointed if you didn't?
Of course, they would love or they wish that I would do it. But they totally respect my wishes too. So they say, okay, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. So it's totally fine for them. And they're finding another solution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it a very lucrative business?
If you're good, yes. But I would say, so there, of course, there are companies like in every need or doesn't matter which company or whatever. You can do it for the money. Or you do it for something else. And like my parents don't take a lot of money from like the people.
How much does it cost?
I would say our cost between 1,000 and 3,000 because
of course you can decide which coffin and you
exactly.
Want.
Yeah. But then there are also undertakers who are selling the same exact same thing, but three times more. And they
really?
Are. Oh, yeah, they do. And they are doing it for the money. And I would say my parents do it to help the people.
Yeah, because someone has to do it.
Of course, and it's just a sad situation the people are in. And it doesn't feel right to get a lot of money from them because it's not nice for them.
Yeah, but it's still a business, so they still want to make money out of it.
Of course, we have to live from them.
Right.
Too.
Yeah. Otherwise, I guess what happens if people don't have the money?
Then the government pays for it, but just the basic things, so they will not get
a lot.
Like the 1,000 kind of
it's
bracket.
More or less.
Even less than that.
It's like we don't earn anything about. We don't, like, we get the money, but it
covers the expenses.
Not even.
Oh, wow.
Not even covers. Yeah.
So in those cases, but you still have to take those jobs, for example, those people. You have to because the...
Yeah, of course we do.
Can you refuse?
What do you mean?
Say no?
We can. Of course we can, but we don't do it.
Yeah.
Like, we are the one undertaker home. Like, even the other ones, like, for example, the police is calling the one undertaker home. They have to call because of the deal they have with the, like, with the government.
The city hall.
Yeah. And they refuse it because they don't want to do it because, like, it's too disgusting or whatever, or they think they will not get money out of it. Then they call us and we will do it nevertheless.
Yeah.
Because we don't do it because of the money.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more like a hard thing to do.
But do you still think you had a good upbringing because of your... Because you said both of your parents were in it.
Yeah.
You still think you were able to make a good living?
Definitely. I would lie if I would say no. But it takes a lot.
It takes a lot because it's like basically a 24/7.
Yeah.
But the money is good. Wow. So interesting. It's like for me, it's like always like a job that I like, so many jobs that I would never do. I really admire those people that do it because there has to be some people that do that.
Exactly.
People die.
Yeah.
And there has to be someone that does that job. I would personally never be able to do it because I think it's really interesting because that's why I asked you, what is your relationship with death? Because I think if you were anywhere else, and I'm thinking Indonesia, for example, because now we're based in Bali, where death has such a different meaning, it will be very different. Because
Definitely.
People here died and it's almost a celebration because you're going to the next life.
Yeah.
And people parade in the streets and they bring the coffin.
Yeah.
Whatever for us, and I think that's for sure. And in most Western countries, it's something extremely sad, extremely bad. And you said it yourself. And that our relationship with death is something horrible that is happening and people are sad and whatever. Did you ever, because I know some people from the funeral homes, the undertakers need to go to the cemetery and stay there as well because they put the coffin. So those people have been to hundreds of funerals.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to any funeral that wasn't just to help?
Yeah, I did. I did almost everything. And of course, going to the funerals and to stay there to be with the people or to organize everything. And it's always sad. I cried many times too. My father's also not preaching like a priest, like a church, but they can also book him as someone who is
giving a ceremony.
Yeah. Giving the ceremony. And like, he's really good because he just talks about the person and the priest is just talking about the church and whatever and God and stuff like that. But he's still crying like after, I don't know, 40 years. And yeah, it's because you lose someone.
Yeah. And even though it's not someone close to you. But there's someone dead.
Yeah, but it's still sad. Yeah.
I think it takes a lot of courage, to be honest, to be able to do a job like that. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And therefore, and I think that's why most people wouldn't want to do it, because it's really fucking hard.
Yeah.
So kudos to your parents for pushing through. Do you think they did it to give you a better life?
Would you?
For their kids? Or do you think... Do you think it's, this is not an easy job, but we're doing it because A, we have it already.
Yeah.
And B, we can provide a better life for our children, or because it's still like a good business, so I can give my kid a good life.
Of course.
Yeah.
Maybe if my parents wouldn't have that funeral home, I wouldn't be able or wouldn't be able to go to New York half like 6 months and live there because like it was expensive. Of course it was possible because my parents have an own company, but it's like what is more important, like the money or the time? Both is important, but
seems like you had a choice. You have a choice
yeah
to either go there or not.
Yeah.
Do you think your dad or your parents had a choice, or they just fell into it and they're like, okay, we're going to go with it.
He definitely had a choice because my dad bought it from his parents. He didn't get it. He had to pay a lot of money for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Of course he had a choice, but it depends. Do you give yourself a choice or do you think I don't have a choice and have to do it?
Have you ever asked your parents why they decided to have a funeral home and be undertakers?
No. I will. If I get back home, I will ask some questions. Yeah.
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 Okay. Is there anything you would like to tell us?
Oh, yeah. Live your life.
Yeah.
And enjoy. Enjoy every... Of course, it's hard to say enjoy every second. Of course, you can't enjoy every second, but try to make the best life you can. But like I ask myself, okay, you have to ask yourself, if you're for real, just have one year left, would you do the exact same thing you are doing right now, or would you change something? And if you think, oh yeah, I would change this and that, then do it. Then work on it to change it, because then it's not your life you should live right now.
Yeah. And I think that's a very important question. I ask myself that question a lot. If I had just one more year, what would I do?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think I finally got to the point where I would live exactly the life that I have.
Same.
And that's good. Were you thinking growing up a lot about death and the possibility of dying? Was it something you thought about a lot or not really?
I would say, of course, I thought about more than maybe someone else.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing you're seeing every day. Yeah. I'm curious how it would be if I wouldn't be faced with death like every day.
For example, you're not right now. Do you think it's different than how you, when you grew up?
Maybe. Yeah, for sure. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's too early to tell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Christina, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rimi.
Christina, as we mentioned, is an amazing wedding, destination wedding photographer. I've traveled all over the world for weddings. We're going to link her Instagram page down in the description below. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rimi.
That was a lot of fun and true and nasty. What's up? Well, I'm that. But to everyone, go follow Christina. Remember to follow Taboo with Mimi, the Instagram page. Click subscribe on Spotify, Apple, wherever you are. And you're listening, leave a 5-star if you can. And I'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.